Our bird is doing better today. Most of yesterday she was okay, and then by evening she had another relapse, and then got a little better after that, and now this morning she seems to be improving again, so everything's working out for the better. I was just walking through the woods here with Rudy this morning, watching the dragon boat races go by at the same time. And I just noticed, you know, how much damage we do just by walking through the woods. Even, you know, the animals themselves, because there was a little raccoon and he was digging up all the moss. He had dug up a whole area of moss and ripped it all out. Very looking for little bugs and stuff. But you know, sometimes people talk about, worried about destroying the environment. And yeah, I can understand that, but every move we make is destructive and at the same time constructive. It tears down one thing and builds another. You know, I guess the issue comes when we want to keep something exactly the same. Some people go, you know, people shouldn't live in a city. We should live in a forest naturally. Well, I tell you, if you took this 1 million people living in this city, and if they ran into, all 1 million people ran into the woods every weekend, I don't think I'd like that very much, and I don't think the woods would like that very much. These wouldn't be able to hold up if that many people running in it. So in a sense, you know, what we call a city in some people sometimes, or maybe ourselves, and even myself sometimes, I look at it and I call a city not good for you. Everything compacted. I don't think a city is good for a world, and yet, the city is, so. Oh, my little island's becoming more popular as I speak of people. Anyway, yeah, you know, so the city in itself, causes some pollution, puts it all together. But, all in all, in some ways it actually saves the environment. So, I think sometimes when we look at things and we say, well, this is destructive, this doesn't work, it's no good, we gotta tear this apart, I think better to fill it full of love. In another sense, fill it full of good feelings and good ideals. And allow it to change in itself. In other words, to grow. To become better as it is. Rather than ripping the whole thing apart and saying, this doesn't work, and this doesn't work, and saying big corporations aren't fair, and so forth to people. Some of that may be true, and some of that may not be true. But the issue is more and more people spend their time focusing on the positive, and thereby creating that, it all becomes better. Cities grow, but they grow in more of a park-like manner than a city of smog manner. In other words, there's more park, there's more wildlife inside the city, there's more trees, more grass. There's all kinds of things, you know, that can be done to beautify a city. I notice we plant trees, but we never plant fruit trees. I mean, of all the trees we plant, why don't we plant fruit trees in the city? One, the birds would have this fruit to eat, and two, people walking around, you're walking through a little park, and there'd be an apple tree, pear tree, whatever the case. And you could just pick some fruit. It would add to the essence of city life in a sense. So I think by focusing on the good, envisioning the feeling of what a really wonderful city would feel like, what it would feel like to live in a really safe city, and bring out that feeling and experience it before it even exists in reality, experience it, that, and begin appreciating that, having that being part of our passion, we begin to create it. And as more and more people do that, it creates it more and more, faster and faster. Cities like that already exist. I mean, in a sense, I live in one. Before I moved to this one, I lived in one also. Lots of parks, little rivers to go to. I mean, a few blocks from every house, there's literally a beautiful park where you can go into. Once you're in it, you don't even know you're in a city anymore. You know, there's so many trees and bushes and valleys and hills that you can't tell you're in the middle of a city. So I sort of think about that, I realize how lucky I am. I got a real feeling of that this morning. I was sort of thinking about my $3 million after I woke up. And I was looking around. And actually I started that last night before I went to bed. I took Rudy for a walk. Actually I played Battlefield on the computer till probably midnight last night. And then took Rudy for a walk and on the way back down the docks, I'm looking out. I just got overwhelmed with the luckiness of my life, the way it's all turning out. I mean, here I am, I live on a big, huge yacht. I can unhook that anytime I want and take off. Could do that right now. 15 minutes it takes to untie those ropes, start the engine, and start rolling. I looked at my boat, our boat, I guess, and just let that real feeling of appreciation. I walked up and down the decks going, wow, I can't believe this actually happened. I was actually able to create this. And then I looked back at my life, you know, 15 years ago, 10 years ago, when I was struggling so hard. Barely having enough money to make ends meet and just trying to find a little happiness and improve my life. And here I am. And I've got it at the palm of my hand trying to achieve even more. I think that's just the way it goes. At least that's the way I am. So this morning I thought about that again and I realized just how lucky I am. And I think that's important when we're creating, to stop and just really appreciate what we already have. Because that grounds us. You know, when you're always reaching for more, you're not really grounded anywhere, I think. That's what I find for myself, is that I'm always reaching out there. And then a sense of unhappiness comes about, even though I have so much. Because I'm reaching over here and I'm not fully appreciating what I have. So there's a good balance there. I think I already said that to myself in one of the other recordings. But it's important to have a balance. So I didn't do so much the last few days with, you know, getting the real feeling of the 3.6 million. I think I was playing more of appreciating, dealing with the issues around me, letting them go, experiencing them, but not in a negative way. Even what happened with Roberta. See, I think we can experience things, all life's up and downs, but they don't have to be experienced in a negative way. And like I was saying yesterday in my recording to myself, I wasn't allowing myself to get upset because I implanted a firm belief that everything will be all right. And this is a bump in the road. And just because you've gone over a bump in the road doesn't mean you need to scream at it after it's gone. So I let it go and I let it emotionally go. And so through the whole process, I stayed happy, actually. There was a few moments, of course, here and there, a little bit of anguish, a little bit of upset, but they quickly faded. I mean, they faded like in minutes. Rather than, you know, sticking for me like it normally does. I can hold on to a grudge for lifetimes. Literally. So, it was a really neat experience for me to be able to let go of everything, feel good, even while going through a negative experience. And that tells me that I'm really starting to move beyond where I am, because when I can experience a negative situation and be positive and happy throughout it, it means I'm moving beyond that. It means that my resistance for moving beyond that is being removed. So I'm really excited about that, because I feel I've taken a big step. Now tomorrow I may take a step backwards, I don't know, but I've taken this big step forward this week. Big step. Also, I had to get some paperwork from income tax. It took us 3 weeks and like almost 47 phone calls. We'd get one number, we'd call, they'd say, no, you have to call this number, we'd call this number, no, you'd have to call this number. And each time you're on the phone, 15 to 25 minutes. And you have to input a lot of information because it's all automated. Then finally you get someone, they go, I don't understand what you want. Anyway, at the end, I stayed happy throughout it. I didn't get upset. I just, while I was on the phone, I was looking out to my $3 million, my little picture of it, and I just stayed in a calm focus. Anyway, the last call, I got somebody who knew exactly what I wanted, but he knew I had to go through a different office. And he says, you can't, no matter how hard you try, you will not be able to phone that office. So what I will do is put a request through for you, and I will make sure that the request actually goes on your file and gets done, because it takes 30 days. And he says, I'm going to do that and I'll call you back. So a few hours later, I get a call back from him. He says, listen, I've been doing some research and there's a guy in our office that can probably do it right here and I can keep an eye on it. But he's off sick, so he will probably be back Monday and I will talk to him personally and then we'll give you a call Monday. See? Pretty nifty. That's something you don't get from the Canadian Income Tax Service. So, by staying positive, even though there was a negative situation, it will come out at the end better than it might have been anyway. So, because you really need someone in there actually doing it for you, taking your case on personally, otherwise it just gets shuffled around and it doesn't go anywhere. So, I feel that has turned out positive. Yes, there is some stirring at the beginning. You see, originally when I was creating and sending love, sometimes that would come about and then I would get a little frustrated because I thought, well, this isn't working. Why is my sending love, my opening the flow, my appreciating not working? And I wasn't really given it the time to work. You know, it needs the time. There's still a system in place. And you can't expect love to go out there and rip the whole system down just because you want something right this minute, because there's other people involved here. And you can't just rip their lives apart. At least that's what I think, right? So, it has to be given, allowed a little time to work through. And during that period, or buffer period, where it's going to work for me, the best thing I can do Because you gotta remember this. You stay happy by stay focused on happy things throughout that period. Because that creates the allowing of the stuff to actually come to me. So, because if I send the love out there and it creates, right? If I don't allow it to return by staying in that same vibration, see, okay, I gotta say this to myself. When I want something really positive, it's a vibration. I have to, feeling-wise, physically, mentally, and emotionally, match that vibration, otherwise it can't come to me. Oh, the plane taking off. So, if I send that love out there and then go to, while it's working and bringing it to me, go back into negative thoughts, lowering, or it's not really a high or low vibration, it's just a vibration match. And then if I think of something negative or not so good and bring myself to a different vibration level, it, even though it's been created and it's sitting there, it can't get to me. So I have to go back, bring myself to that same vibration level so that it can actually come to me. Same goes with money. You can send that energy out there, and it's being created. The $3.6 million is being created for me, and it's on its way. But I have to stay in a vibrational pattern that allows, that matches that $3.6 million, and thereby allows it to come to me. As long as I stay a match to it. Now, how do I stay a match to it? I stay a match to it by thinking positive of it, when I see money having positive feelings about money, and when I think about the $3.6 million, I have a positive feeling, happy feeling. That happy feeling is actually the signal that tells me that my vibration matches it. And all I have to do is maintain that as much as possible. If it's 50-50, then it's 50-50. But if I continue to practice it at 50-50, in a few days it'll be 55-45 and 60-40. And so I improve. And the more I improve, once I reach a certain level, then it's allowed to come. See, if I'm 30% positive, I think, this is what I think, 30% positive, 70% negative, 30% of the time I'm matching the vibration, 70% not, then I think it sort of works in the basis of, let's say, 30% of, or a partial of that money can come, but not all of it in a sense. Or I can receive an improvement on my financial income and inflow, but not the full amount. Because I'm, the percentage of time that I'm actually matching the vibration is not enough. So, the idea is to keep practicing staying in the same vibrational match to it. And I know when I'm in the vibrational match, when I have some money in my hand, and I feel good about it. I'm happy. I'm confident. I believe. It gives me a good feeling when I think about money. Now, if I pick up a bill and all of a sudden I feel negative, that negative feeling, all it's telling me is that I'm not in a vibrational match to the abundance of money. I'm a vibrational match to the lack. So, I change my feeling and go, this is a nice bill, I'm going to put it over here and I'm going to pay it because I have the financial abundance, and I will bring up the feeling of actually having it and work on the good feeling, so when I see the bill, I'm happy that I have so much money to pay all this. That tells me I'm in a vibrational match to abundance of money. So, all the feelings that I've gone through in the last few days, even a little bit ups and downs, trying to balance myself out, trying to, you know, achieve a newer, a little bit higher level of happiness, before it comes about, I think before there's a bit of a shift and an increase, and it continues on. I mean, next week I'll try to increase it more, next month some more. So, but there's a little ripple effect that comes before. Like, I think if I look through my recordings, I'll notice a little bit of feeling down, insecurity, and all kinds of things before this new level of feeling positive, more positive. Well, that's okay. It's like, oh, look at the geese. Bunch of quackers. Anyway, yeah, I think there's a little bit of ripple, a little bit of shake down, and then it improves. So I'm really happy with my improvement and how I stayed positive during this little bit of crisis with Roberta. And I think my not letting myself get down helped also. Now, I believe I could stay even more positive. There's even more of an improvement, and after that even more of an improvement. And I believe that there comes a level of where it doesn't affect you at all, and you can stay at a very heightened level of happiness and openness of flowing that energy out, openness of appreciation, happiness, passion. And I think at that point, the ability to heal other people really kicks in. Now, I don't know this at this point because I don't feel I've reached it yet. I've had moments, glimpses of it, like, and during that time I felt something going out and I felt the healing take effect somewhere. Part of that was with Rudy. I was playing around at one time. You know, how once in a while, you know, you get really happy, really, really, really happy, you know. It's just one of those blue moons where you wake up and you go, wow, I feel good. That's like a glimpse of what's possible. So I was waiting for one of those, and when I got them, then I started playing with sending love during that time, and I found it most powerful. The flow was very fine and beautiful, and that's when I sent some love, healing love, to my dog, Rudy. He had some eye problems. Now, they didn't go away right away, but sometime after, and you know, I don't even remember when anymore, it's been a while, but the eye problem seems to be solved now. He doesn't have it anymore, and he had it for a long time. It's an inherent condition. He had it for years. So, anyway, the issue is, I think when you reach that little bit of heightened of happiness, not that we can't have healing effect before that, but I think that's when it really kicks in. You know, that's when there's a real surge. I think that's when that real flow is clean enough that's coming through us. It's clean enough. I don't know if that's the right word, but maybe. Fine enough. Pure enough, maybe. Clean enough. Yeah, the flow, who knows? I don't know what words to use for that. But that's something, again, I forgot about that. Yeah, next time, I got one of those really, really super high days where I'm happier than I've ever been before, feeling like at the top of the world. I'm going to think of something to create. I'm going to use that time and flow the love through me, the energy through me, and create something. I have to think of what. I'll just think of something at the time and I'll work on that. Well, I'll think of something and have it all ready for that day when that happens, and I'll see how it goes. But because I bet, you know, the more happier you become, the better your creating ability gets. And I think the faster things create, because I think the flow increases. Well, I know the flow increases for sure, and the flow becomes much purer, finer, more focused, more direct than, you know, when we're in that other stage of not so happy. That's why when we're feeling really good, it's a lot easier to create than when we're feeling really down. The funny thing is, we do most of our creating and wanting when we're really down. When we're feeling up, we're running around just enjoying it and not doing anything. So we really should think about when we're up and spend a little bit more time at that time keeping it and creating more of it, so, you know, we stay up and we don't quite fall down so far. I mean, I think no matter how happy we get, there's always a wave. It's like a wave. You go up and down a little bit. Let's say a certain happiness scale being 3. Well, you go from 4 to 2 to 3 to 4 to 3 to 2 and up and down, right? Your happiness scale moves to 6, 7, and 8, and then it moves to 10, 11, and 12, and 13, 14, 15, but there's always that wave in there. I think that's an adjustment, you know, that allows a balance. And it's a good thing, too, because as feelings, no matter how high you get on your high level, your low level always goes higher, too, but that little fluctuation in there, it's sort of like it increases your taste for the experience. See, I think a good feeling feels better if you slide away from the good feeling and then come back to it. Just a little bit, sort of like that wave. So it's sort of like eating something sweet and something sour. When I go to a restaurant, I like to have... it depends on what we do. If we go in the evening, I like to have a drink, a rusty nail, and a coffee, and a pop, or water. So you have 3 different flavors of drinks, and I just take a sip of one, a sip of the other, and a sip of the other. And because they're so different, it heightens each taste. So you take a sip of the screwdriver, or a rusty nail, or whatever it be. Actually, rusty nail, I think, is my favorite right now. And then you take a drink of, let's say, a Sprite, 7-Up, or water. And then you take a taste of the coffee, and the variance flavors really jumps out. You know, you take 10 sips of coffee, each sip gets more and more mellow. Then when you get your food, you've got other flavors going again. And in between the eating, you take a sip of one or the other or the other. And you can also add wine to that too. So you've got even more combinations of flavors. And they seem to heighten for me all the different tastes. So I think as your emotions wave a little bit, that creates a stronger flavor, a stronger taste, a stronger experience of them. See, that's a good idea. That would never come to the surface of my mind unless I was using this recorder. Because I could never write fast enough to bring this out so I could look at it afterwards. Before, sometimes I used to talk, you know, I used to sit there and talk like this to a tree, but it wasn't recorded. I'd find a nice tree, sit there, and I'd yak at it, telling it all kinds of stuff, but that, when it was over, it was hard for me to remember everything I said, so this recorder works a lot better. I don't know, sometimes I wonder, what do you think this tree thinks? What do you think? What do you think, Mr. Tree? Yeah, bunch of babble, eh? Doesn't really matter. Just reach for the sky. Reach for the sun. Reach for the rain. Reach for the wind. Reach for the dryness. Reach for the moisture. feel the breeze, feel the warmth, the coolness. Feel yourself reaching out, just reaching out. Feel the coolness of the earth, the warmness of the sun, the dryness of the wind, the moisture of the earth. That's kind of an experience. That's kind of neat. The tree is actually in two places at once. In the earth and out in the open at the same time. It's like a double experience, really, when you think about it. That's kind of neat. That's interesting. Thanks.